Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk to serving our troops and find out where they're going next, visit with one of Minnesota's most distinguished veterans, and hear from the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Last month marked the end of the war in Iraq. On December 14, 2011, President Obama spoke of our service members who served in Iraq over the last decade, which included 8,000 Minnesota National Guard citizen soldiers and airmen. The President said they will cross the border out of Iraq with their heads held high. One of the most extraordinary chapters in the history of the American military will come to an end. Iraq's future will be in the hands of its people. America's war in Iraq will be over. And as our final troops left Iraq into Kuwait, they did so at checkpoints operated by the Minnesota National Guard. The magnitude of what the service members of our state and nation accomplished in Iraq is unprecedented. We have never been more proud of our service members, families, communities, and employers. Together with members of the United States Armed Forces, we freed over 25 million people from tyranny and given hope when hope was forsaken. The Minnesota National Guard played an important role in providing new opportunity for the people of Iraq. Throughout Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation New Dawn, our soldiers and airmen embodied physical and mental toughness and courage under fire. They continued to risk life and limb for a cause larger than themselves. As we reflect upon what individual soldiers and airmen accomplished in Iraq, we would be remiss if we didn't take time to acknowledge those whose lives were forever changed, our wounded warriors and our Gold Star families. No one knows the cost of war more than our Gold Star families, and our state and nation thank and honor them for their sacrifice. To those that have served in Iraq, I congratulate you for a job well done. We can all be very proud of our nation's accomplishments in Iraq.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Serving our troops. It's really a simple thing. A nice meal like you'd get back home. A chance to chat with your family. Making a new friend from your hometown. But when you've been away from home for nearly a year, it's those simple things that bring it all back. Joining us now is Ted Davis from Davis Communications and a member of the Serving Our Troops Board. Ted, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Happy to be here.
I was reading from your website. And it really is a simple thing. Can you tell us, where did Serving Our Troops come from? And I want to talk about some of the missions you've been on.
You bet. It goes back to 2004 when a couple of the leaders of our team, Councilmember Pat Harris from St. Paul and our friend John Marshall, were sitting down at Mancini's Char House in St. Paul. It's an iconic steakhouse on West 7th Street in St. Paul. Just talking about world events, as we often do as we sit there. And we're talking about the war, and Pat just saw one of those big Mancini steaks go by, and he said, you know, we've got men and women over there, and they're fighting for us. We should be able to just bring them the kind of meal that we enjoy back here. A lot of phone calls later, a lot of visits with folks, and Serving Our Troops was born. We put together a plan to bring that very simple steak dinner to men and women serving in the Minnesota National Guard, in that case in Kosovo, and connect them back home with their families. 2004, we shipped about 2,000 steaks to Kosovo, along with 15 restaurateurs, people from iconic St. Paul restaurants like O'Gara's Bar and Grill, Mancini's Char House, Cosetta's Italian Market, Skinner's Pub. Later, we've been joined by folks from Tanucci's and the Colossal Cafe, both all famous St. Paul restaurants. And we put together a very, very simple but very large steak dinner for the 2,000 Minnesotans who were serving in Kosovo at the time. We really didn't know what we were getting into, but when we saw the impact that it had on the families and on the soldiers, just having folks show up, we decided to keep the thing going. And since then, we've done 8 missions, twice to Iraq and Kuwait, deployment ceremonies at Camp Shelby in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We returned to Kosovo when a group from Rochester was there. We did the deployment ceremonies from Fort Sill, and just this past summer from Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, each time giving them a good 12-ounce steak and a chance to visit with families either electronically or, in the case of the deployment ceremonies, right there at a military base.
We're speaking with Ted Davis, one of the core team from Serving Our Troops, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Ted, from a late-night idea over a beer, you've come a long way. Now you've been on 8 missions. How many steaks have you served?
Well, our current count is 55,000 steaks served either in St. Paul on a military base or in Iraq or in Kosovo.
And a lot of troops and a lot of family members. And you were telling me earlier when we were discussing that really an emotional event for the families, isn't it?
It really is. And going into it, I don't think we understood the impact of this, but I remember back when I, on the first trip in Kosovo, I was manning the phone rooms, and we were bringing families together via video who had, at that point, not seen each other for nearly 9 months. We had an individual who saw his 8-month-old child, who he barely had a chance to see before he left. We saw parents talking about new haircuts that their daughters had. They were all having that kind of conversation that you have over a dinner table, but they were thousands and thousands of miles apart.
Ted, we visited with Pat Harris and John Marshall a while back, and they were just getting ready to go to Camp McCoy in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that event and how many people you served?
Yeah, they're the 2,800 Minnesota National Guard members who are deploying, who are in Kuwait today. We're on their way out of town, and we served approximately 7,000 steak dinners there. We had an enormous tent. We brought a band. We brought the steak dinners with all the trims. We brought our own grills. It really made for a wonderful, sunny picnic day out there in western Wisconsin. And it was the last chance for these families to have a meal together before the year-long deployment to Kuwait.
I saw some photos of that event. You had the governor there, and, of course, the brigade commander, Colonel Kerska, was smiling pretty broadly when he saw all those steaks in those photos. That was quite an event, wasn't it?
Indeed, yes. And that's another thing. The Minnesota National Guard has been incredibly supportive on this. They've helped us get steaks in country. They've helped us get permission to get onto the military bases. It's been a wonderful team effort to get them to be able to put on what's essentially a Sunday dinner with a family.
Ted, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll find out where you're going next. But for our listeners, where can they go if they want to help?
People can contribute at servingourtroops.com. People can contact us via email through there. And we're certainly appreciate any assistance we have in making these missions.
It's really a massive effort to pull this off, isn't it?
That it is.
Ted, we'll be right back and find out where you're going next. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're visiting with Ted Davis from Davis Communications. He's a core team member from Serving Our Troops. And, of course, we've been talking about, Ted, the 8 missions that you've been on so far since, was that 2004? Was that the first one?
2004 in Kosovo.
Well, we've kept our listeners waiting long enough. Where are you going now, and how did this happen?
Well, in late February, we're going back to Kuwait. As you all know, there are 2,800 Minnesota National Guard members there and a lot of other United States military who are still there packing up and staying ready. And so at the end of February, we're going to be bringing a steak dinner to not only the Minnesota National Guard members stationed in Kuwait, but their colleagues on 5 different military installations along in Kuwait. At the same time, we're going to be doing a family dinner in St. Paul, where 3,000-plus members of the families of the Minnesota National Guard members will enjoy the same steak dinner and be linked in via video to our operation in Kuwait.
So you're going to go visit the Red Bulls. We were just there in November and did a show live with Colonel Kerska.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was hungry, so you better bring an extra steak for him.
I think we can manage that.
How many steaks are you bringing to Kuwait?
We're going to bring 13,000 steaks to Kuwait because we all grew up in Minnesota, and we know that you don't bring treats to class if you're not going to share them with everybody. And so we're going to feed all five of the forward operating bases that we'll be working with. So we talk about this as a simple thing. It's a dinner with a family, but it's really a very, very complex operation to get it done.
It's a big steak, but it's not just, it's a strip steak and all the fixings.
It's your 12-ounce steak that you get at Mancini's every night of the week, along with the potatoes and a little bit of salad, and it's a really good meal.
If the Red Bulls are listening, their mouths are watering already, yeah. Ted. Tell me, what does it take to 15,000 steaks, Mancini's, Kuwait, half a world away? It took me a day to get there and a day to get back when we did the show.
Well, and think about it. We are shipping and preparing 15,000 steaks, which means not only do we have to send the steaks from here to Kuwait, but we have to send the chefs, too. We're going to be sending 50 people whose sole job in Kuwait is going to be taking those steaks, grilling them up to order for the soldiers, and then distributing them at that one event. Shipping meat internationally is not an easy endeavor. We certainly discovered that in Kosovo, and it keeps happening. Pat Harris from our team has put together a system that works, which is really magnificent. These steaks are cut here in Minnesota. They're flash frozen and put on an airplane. They're refrozen in Chicago, and they're shipped overseas. They're met in Kuwait City by a couple of our volunteers who we send ahead, and we call them our meat greeters. And their job is to pick them up at the airport, get them to a massive warehouse in Kuwait where they're broken up to the orders for the five different camps. And then our friends with the Minnesota National Guard come, get them, and bring them out to where they need to go.
So you've got two volunteers babysitting the steaks
to make sure
they don't disappear.
That's right. Very, very singular but very clear job is meet them at the airplane, get them to the warehouse, get them out to the forward operating bases.
And all our Red Bulls have to do that day is show up and be hungry.
That's right. And then when they show up, there's going to be a 12-ounce steak waiting for them, and it's going to be cooked by people that they may already know. We bring with us the people who run the restaurants that are part of our team. So John Mancini from Mancini's is with us. Dave Cosetta from Cosetta's. We've got Dan O'Gara from O'Gara's Bar and Grill. We've got John Tanucci from Tanucci's in the Colossal Cafe. And a number of other community volunteers who one, know how to cook a steak and know what a good steak tastes like, and they make it as close to that St. Paul steak dinner as we possibly can.
And then back here, you're going to be feeding some of the families.
At exactly the same time. People from the very same restaurants are going to be in the St. Paul River Center, our convention center in downtown St. Paul, and serving exactly the same meal. We'll have music. We'll have a video connection. We get visits from folks like the governor and our elected officials. Media celebrities will come through and greet folks. But the real star of the show is that steak dinner and the video connection where a family can have a face-to-face conversation with their soldier overseas.
We're speaking with Ted Davis, part of the core team from Serving Our Troops on Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Ted, this is you're on your ninth mission, mm-hmm. 55,000 steaks so far. You're going to jump up to 70,000. Wow. Mm-hmm. You must have some great sponsors. You must have a lot of support. It must take a lot of money to pull this off.
Well, it really is a complicated and honestly expensive operation. We've got some folks who have been really helpful to us. Names you know. Delta Airlines helps us with our airfare, getting our volunteers over there to cook. RBC, the investment firm downtown, has been a great contributor. We've got friends at Comcast who have contributed, a whole variety of the corporations in town. But we also get a significant number of our contributions from individuals and from service clubs. People contribute either through our website, servingourtroops.com, or we do go out and we speak. We talk to folks. And we found that people really like to be a part of this because it's again, a very simple gesture that we all understand. Everybody likes to have dinner with their family, and we make that possible.
Ted, you've got little sponsors, people that shove money over the bar at Mancini's, big sponsors, Delta, XL Energy, AT&T, you've got, over the years, you've built a big list of people that support this effort, haven't you?
We really have. And that's one of the great stories of our, I think, of this really grassroots project that's grown into something very big, is when we announce it, people would just show up at places like O'Gara's and say, here's a couple of bucks, help make this happen. We had volunteers show up and saying, you know, I just want to cook one steak for a member of that family to say thank you. Lots of different ways that people really want to help out. I think probably it's because there's a real hunger from folks in the community to let the members of the National Guard know how much we appreciate their service. And I hope we're able to provide one way for them to do that.
And this is a unique program, Minnesotans Helping Out Minnesotans, isn't it?
Well, yeah. We've received lots of calls from other states, and no one has stepped up to do this. And I think part of it is the unique nature of Minnesota. We're people who like to help, and I think that's evident in the work of our members of our National Guard over there doing what they're doing as citizen soldiers, and I think it's evident in people who reach out through programs like Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and Serving Our Troops.
So the 9th Serving Our Troops event, February 25th, 2012, here in Minneapolis and over in Kuwait. What an event. Great job you're doing. If the listeners want to help, once again, where do they go?
ServingOurTroops.com on the web.
Ted, you and your partners and all of your helpers are doing a fantastic job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tom.
This is Ted Davis from Serving Our Troops talking about the 9th mission to Kuwait coming up soon. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss a New Year's resolution you can make to support service members and their families. Last year, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities popped up all over the state. There were over 60 new cities, counties, and companies proclaimed Yellow Ribbon. In addition, many communities held kickoff events, bringing leaders and volunteers together to get started on their own Yellow Ribbon path. With so many community members and organizations having committed to the Yellow Ribbon effort, finding a New Year's resolution this year should be a cinch. Most Yellow Ribbon networks meet once a month and are currently planning events for 2012. In Richfield, a newly proclaimed network, they are working on an event for the spouses of deployed service members for Valentine's Day. And one week before Christmas, the Bloomington Yellow Ribbon Network had a cookie decorating event for military families. These are just some of the events taking place year-round in Yellow Ribbon communities, both proclaimed and those working towards it. So make a New Year's resolution you can stick with this year and help out Yellow Ribbon efforts in your area. Not sure where to find your Yellow Ribbon Network? Get in touch with your nearest Family Assistance Center to get pointed in the right direction. Thank you to all volunteers making a difference in the lives of military families across the state and going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can get involved and support service members, find the Join a Yellow Ribbon Network button at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Next, we'll visit with one of Minnesota's most distinguished veterans on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time now for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
As we welcome in the new year, I want to take a minute to reflect on accomplishments of 2011. Dedicated to serving Minnesota veterans and their families is the mission of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I am proud to report that over the past year, we have expanded and improved services to Minnesota's veterans and their dependents. For example, our Claims and Outreach Office brought in approximately $500 million in federal funds to Minnesota veterans and their families last year. We have major construction projects either complete or underway at the 5 veterans' homes. All 5 state veterans' homes achieved national best-in-class from resident customer satisfaction surveys, and our state veterans' cemetery in Little Falls received a national award for excellence in appearance. This is one of the highest honors a state cemetery can receive from the federal VA. Minnesota is currently one of only three states in the country to be recognized and receive this accolade. These are just a few of the accomplishments that make me proud to serve such a talented team. I would like to wish you and your family a Happy New Year.
Gelato, for more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is our special guest, Congressman John Klein, who also served 25 years in the United States Marine Corps, where he retired at the rank of colonel. Congressman, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
Congressman, I think a lot of our listeners probably don't know you had a long career in the United States Marine Corps, starting out as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Yeah, I had almost a magical career. It was one of those things. The Vietnam War was raging back in the 60s. I was a college student, got into the NROTC program, was commissioned and graduated on the same day, and launched off on what I thought was going to be 3 years of active duty time, do my tour in Vietnam, and get out and go back to school or something. And 25 years later, I finally figured out my 3 years were up.
That was quite a lesson, sir. You were able to serve in some interesting positions throughout your career. Could you walk us through it a little bit?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It really was a magical career, and I think the reason that the 3 years turned into 25 is I kept finding exciting and challenging things to do that were very rewarding. I opted to go to flight training, for example, and found out that I absolutely love flying helicopters, and so that worked out really well for me. My first time over to Vietnam was pretty quiet, and that worked out fine for me. Spent the time aboard ship, not much heavy lifting, if I can use that term, as a helicopter guy, but not too bad. I left Vietnam during the spring offensive of 72, and then I went to a real hardship tour in Hawaii, which was actually pretty nice back in the early 70s. I went back over to Vietnam to sweep mines out of Haiphong Harbor with helicopters. That was not pleasant. We lost a couple of helicopters in that effort. And then I got a chance to fly Marine One, the president's helicopter. I was with that squadron for 4 years. I served in the White House carrying the nuclear codes for Presidents Carter and Reagan. Really just a magical opportunity. Had opportunity to command overseas and ended up, when I was a colonel, I had the chance to command the largest Marine Air Group in the Marine Corps and take it over to Somalia for Operation Restore Hope for that operation. So was a lot of challenge, actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed almost every minute of it. Was sort of sad when I realized that my 3 years was up.
It'd be hard to even write a story like that, Congressman.
Well, no, it's sometimes... truth is better than fiction. Just so many fun things to do. As you can imagine, working in the White House, having your office in the White House is a pretty heady experience for a young major. I was a major at the time. Got to ride around on Air Force One and spend weekends at Camp David, and it's pretty heady stuff. And be right with the president for hours and hours at a time. Go horseback riding with President Reagan and running with President Carter. Fly fishing with President Carter got me hooked on that hobby. So pretty heady stuff. But the really rewarding thing, the reason that I wanted to go in the Marine Corps was a chance to serve overseas and certainly to command troops in hostile area like Somalia was during 1992-93. So that's what's really rewarding. Even though you're living in a tent and it's hot and then it's muddy and you're eating MREs and people are mad at you and occasionally shooting at you, that's where the real reward comes.
We're speaking with Congressman and retired United States Marine Corps Colonel John Klein on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Congressman, it must have been really rewarding to be flying Marine One for the President of the United States.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. There was not like there was just me by myself. It was a squadron with a number of pilots, and we shared the duties around. But it is exciting. I got to travel around the world in that role. Got to fly into the South Lawn of the White House, and that's pretty exciting too. The first time you realize you're landing on the lawn at the White House. I got a chance to meet an awful lot of really good people, military people serving the president, and people serving in the White House. I became pretty good friends when I was working for President Reagan with his chief of staff at the time, James Baker, who's turned out to be a hunting buddy of mine, and we over the years. So a really, really good and rewarding experience, both flying Marine One and then serving in the White House.
Congressman, I understand when you were serving in the White House, you were carrying a device called the football. That must have been a heavy responsibility.
Yeah, it's a heavy responsibility. It's one of those jobs that you never, ever, ever, ever want to actually do that job. That is, use the football you're carrying. It's, you know, for your listeners, those are commonly called the nuclear codes. That's probably as good a way as any to describe what it is. But that has to be in close proximity to the president at all the time. At all times, the commander-in-chief. That also gave me the reason, someone might say the excuse, to make sure that you were staying close to the president. That's why you were on board Marine One with him, on board Air Force One with him, in the elevator with him, staying next door to him, and so forth, because you had to be in very, very close proximity to respond in the case of a nuclear attack. It's hard probably for some young listeners now to remember, but this was back in the Cold War. This was in the early 1980s, and the constant tension between the USSR and America was with us every day, and that thankfully has gone away and been replaced by other tensions.
Congressman, I also understand that military runs in your family. Your wife and your son were in the military.
Yeah, my wife Vicki is a retired Army nurse. She loved the Army. And my son is a lieutenant colonel in the Army now. He did 3 combat tours, 1 in Iraq and 2 in Afghanistan, and doing a fantastic job. He has been transferred to Fort Bliss, Texas. Vic and I were just down there over the holidays to visit with his family and had a great time. Fort Bliss is not everybody's idea of an ideal spot, but it turns out it was absolutely beautiful when we were there. There wasn't a single cloud in the sky. Temperature was just perfect. So we were lucky to hit it at the right time.
Congressman, we have to take a short break. If you can stay with us, we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about your service in the United States Congress.
Happy to.
You're listening to Congressman John Klein on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're speaking with Congressman and retired United States Marine Corps Colonel John Klein. Congressman, you were sharing with us that your family was in the military and your son served some tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. How did it feel to be the father of one of our military serving overseas?
Well, of course, I'm very, very proud of my son and his service and the service of all of our men and women in uniform. And as a member of Congress and particularly a member of the House Armed Services Committee, I had many opportunities to travel to Iraq and Afghanistan. And on some of those, I had the opportunity to visit my son over there, which was a kind of a unique experience and a little bit exciting to look up and see my son standing there at, while I was in Kandahar or something like that. So that was exciting and rewarding. I think he got a kick out of it as well. But as I've been asked a number of times, well, does it make a difference in your decisions because your son is in the Army? I suppose I certainly take that into account. But we in Congress are responsible to take care of all of our nation's sons and daughters in uniform and make sure that they've got what they need. And I'm constantly concerned when I see threats to their well-being, and whether it's in terms of spending cuts or policies that make it tougher for them to do their job.
Congressman, I read that we probably have the fewest number of veterans in Congress today since World War II, and I wonder if the non-veteran congressmen and women understand that the government needs to keep its promises to our veterans.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We're down to about a quarter or so of the members of Congress are veterans. We got an infusion of a number of members here in the last election of people who've served in Iraq or Afghanistan, and I think that's helpful. And some who haven't served really have no idea of what's involved. But I think that most members, whether they've served in the military or not, are genuinely concerned about our men and women in uniform, admire them. It's a very respected profession, and want to do the best that they can for them. Now, some of them, clearly not. There are some members who are just plain anti-military. That's sort of a throwback to my time and your time, and you go back to the Vietnam era, there was quite a bit of that. We don't see that much now, and you don't see it much in Congress, but there is some of it.
Congressman, you're 25 years in the Marine Corps, and your service flying Marine One and carrying the football, all of that experience must have really helped you when it comes time to sit on the House Armed Services Committee.
Yeah, Tom, I think it really did. That's really the driving reason why I ran for Congress in the first place, is I wanted to bring my military experience to Congress, because like you, I was concerned about the lack of military experience on the part of members of Congress, and I wanted to bring that experience to bear. And I did find out that right from the beginning on the Armed Services Committee, I was comfortable. I knew what they were talking about. I understood the acronyms. I understood the issues and the challenges, and I could relate it to my own experience. It's harder in other committees where you haven't worked in those fields to get up to speed. And so to your earlier point where you have a member who comes into Congress as a new member, has never served in the military, it's a little hard to get up to speed in the Armed Services Committee, because it's a different world, it's a different culture, you have so many acronyms, you've got the military services and military departments and civilians and contractors and acquisition and just a lot of stuff going on, and it's hard to catch up. And so my 25 years, having worked in the Pentagon and worked in the field, really made it easier for me to step in and be really productive right from the beginning.
Congressman, in today's news, we see we've got in the Minnesota National Guard, the 1st Brigade Combat Team's got 2,800 troops, soldiers over in Kuwait. Mm-hmm. And then we see in the news where the Pentagon is discussing some large cutbacks to the United States Army's. It's kind of tough. We're seeing that the National Guard is going to have almost 30% of those troops looking for jobs when they come back. I'm sure you take that into account with your decisions every day in the Congress.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there. You've raised a number of issues. One, we should all be extremely proud of the Red Bulls and the Minnesota National Guard in general. They've served long tours, historically long tour in Iraq. As you pointed out now, they're back in Kuwait. They served in Afghanistan, and they're making us very, very proud. The United States has been leaning on the National Guard at an extraordinary level because of the commitments in Iraq and Afghanistan and the relatively small size of our active forces. So we've relied on the Guard and Reserve an awful lot and put a lot of pressure on them. And I am concerned, to your point, that when these members of the Guard come back, that there are going to be a lot of them looking for work, and the economy is not very receptive to that. And so there's a lot of research going on, a lot of people looking at that issue to see if there's anything that we should be doing besides just training to make it easier for these men and women when they come back from these long deployments to get jobs. And I think the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which is now very active here in Minnesota, is helpful, helping these men and women adjust to civilian life when they come back, and it can actually be helpful and help them get employment. So I think that's a great program, and I'm very proud of the cities here in Minnesota who have stepped up to be Yellow Ribbon cities and help these soldiers reintegrate.
Congressman, we've just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I just think it's important that we all show our love and respect for our men and women in uniform. And as I mentioned, I'm heartened to see that that's so much better now than it was when we were young men, Tom. And we can't thank them enough. We need to all of us make sure we're doing that every day.
Congressman, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today, and I hope we can have you on again soon.
Sure, Tom.
Thank you, sir. That was Congressman and retired United States Marine Corps Colonel John Klein on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Joining us now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to talk to you again.
I'm sure you've been pretty busy the last couple of months since you took this position, but I know that one of the things that you're concerned about is the 1st Brigade Combat Team has a lot of soldiers over in Kuwait, and when they come back next spring, many of them are going to be looking for work, aren't they?
Absolutely, Tom. You know, that's one of the biggest issues that I'm working on right now is unemployment rate, not only with the BCT, but throughout the National Guard for our soldiers and airmen. Typically, unemployment has affected our soldiers much more than our airmen. For instance, for the BCT alone, out of the 2,700 soldiers we have over in Kuwait right now, about 28% of those are going to come back to not have a job. So that's a big issue, and we're really working on that right now. The unemployment rate in the Minnesota National Guard is about 16% overall right now, and when you compare that to Minnesota's average at about 5.9%, there's a big difference, an even bigger difference for females in the military in the National Guard. That percent is about 18% unemployment.
Sergeant Major, have we been able to figure out why that huge difference exists?
You know, I don't think there's been a lot of studies on it. Anecdotally, I think it has a lot to do with deployments. Our soldiers and airmen have deployed many times and pretty frequently over the last 6 to 10 years, and I think that can take its toll on an employer, having a soldier be gone so many times. We are really working with employers right now, too. Employment stability is really critical to readiness for the Minnesota National Guard, so I think that's going to be key moving forward. It's really the biggest issues facing our returning soldiers right now.
So there are a lot of good initiatives starting to try to make sure that we've got jobs for the Red Bulls when they come back.
Yes, actually, we have it through the Yellow Ribbon networks right now. We have some Yellow Ribbon companies who have really stepped up and decided that they're going to start initiatives within their companies and within their communities to make sure that our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, when they return, are going to have a job. We're working jointly with the Department of Employment and Economic Development, otherwise known as DEED, through the 49 workforce centers here in Minnesota, so that when a soldier comes back, they can post their resume, and that's where employers can find them and match up skills as well.
And Sergeant Major, if our listeners are interested in hiring one of the returning Red Bulls, where should they go?
I'm glad you asked that, Tom. We have a website set up, minnesotaworks.net, and employers can post any job openings or anyone that they're looking for there, and our soldiers are told to post their resumes there. Currently, we're working with the soldiers, even in country now, to build those resumes and to make sure that they're transferring their military experience into civilian speak so that it will be easier for employers to match those skills. There is a link on our beyondtheyellowribbon.org website, too, to the minnesotaworks.net for employers.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ted Davis from the Serving Our Troops, Congressman and retired United States Marine Corps Colonel John Klein, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about one soldier's story of recovery and resilience following a severe injury caused by war, and get a sneak peek at the new film, Home for Heroes. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.